Chapter 48. The Red King raised the knife over my daughter, and she let out a quavering little scream, a helpless, hopeless wail of terror and despair. And as hard as I fought with the new strength given me by Queen Mab, with the protection granted by my godmother's armor, I could not do a damn thing about it. I didn't have to. White light erupted over the altar from no visible source, and the Red King let out a scream. The shackles of his will vanished, even as his right hand, the one holding the stone knife, leapt off his arm and went spinning through the air. It fell to the stone floor, still clutched hard around the leather-wrapped hilt of the knife, and the obsidian blade shattered like a dropped dish. I let out a shout as I felt the Red King's will slip off of me. The others still held me in place, but I suddenly knew that I could move, knew that I could fight. As the Red King reeled back, screaming, I lifted a hand, snarled, "Fuego!" and sent a wash of fire to my right, engulfing the jaguar warrior who still stood a couple of feet inside the doorway. He tried to flee and only wound up screaming and falling down the deadly steep steps of the pyramid, while the soul fire lacing my spell found his flesh and set it aflame. I whirled back to the lords, facing me from the far side of the altar. I couldn't have risked throwing destructive energy at them with my daughter lying on the altar between us, and I had no choice but to take out the immediate threat of the warrior so that I could focus on the lords and the Red King. Otherwise, it would have been relatively simple for him to come over and cut my throat while I was engaged by the vampire elite. But two can play at that game, and my physical backup was a hell of a lot better than theirs. I drew in my own will and lifted my borrowed staff, and as I did, four more beings in golden masks entered the temple. Where did all those yo-yos come from?
"Hold the wizard!"
snarled the Red King, and the pressure of hostile minds upon me abruptly doubled. My left arm shook, and the staff I held in it slowly sank down. My right arm just ran out of gas, as if the muscles in it had become totally exhausted, and the tip of the sword clinked as it hit the stone floor. The Red King rose and stared for a moment at the altar and at the column of shimmering light over it. As he did, his freaking hand began to writhe like a spider, and a second later, it flipped itself over and began to crawl back over toward him. The king just stood there, staring at the light. I tried to fight my way out of the mass of dark will directed against me. The light could only be Susan veiled behind the Lenanshi's handiwork and wielding Amarakius. I mean, how many invisible sources of holy light interested in protecting my daughter could there be running around Chichen Itza? She hadn't attacked yet, instead standing over Maggie. I wanted to scream at her to take him, that it was her only chance. If she didn't, the Red King and his lords could take her out almost as swiftly and easily as I had the Jaguar Warrior. But he didn't. And in a flash of insight, I understood why he didn't. He didn't know what the light was. He knew only that it hurt him when he tried to murder the child. From his perspective, it could have been almost anything. An archangel standing guard, or a spirit of light as terrible as the Ick had been foul. I thought back to the voice coming from Murphy's mouth, pronouncing judgment upon the Red Court, and suddenly understood what was making the Red King hesitate. What he was really thinking, that the entity over the altar might be something he did not think actually existed, like maybe the real Kukulkan. And he was afraid. Susan couldn't do anything. If she acted, if she revealed what she was, the enemy's uncertainty would vanish, and the conflict would immediately ensue again. Outnumbered so heavily, she wouldn't have a chance. But she knew what she had, in uncertainty and fear, and she neither moved nor made a sound. It was a weapon as potent as the wills of the demigods themselves. It had, after all, paralyzed the Red King. But it was a fragile weapon. A sword made of glass, and I felt my eyes drawn to the broken pieces of obsidian on the floor. I couldn't move, and time was not our ally. With every moment that passed, the more numerous enemy would become more organized, recover more from the shock of the sudden invasion of a small army smack in the middle of their holiday celebration. I needed an opportunity, a moment, if I was going to get Maggie out of this mess, and I needed it soon. I strained against the wills of the Lords of Outer Night, unable to move, and keeping their attention locked upon me. One by one, my gaze traveled over each of the golden masks. I focused on the last one for a time, then began again with the first, tried to test each individual will to find out which would be the weakest point of attack when my moment came. Just then, Martin ghosted into the temple through the fourth door, making absolutely no sound, and it looked to me like the moment was freaking nigh. All of the lords present were focused on me. The Red King stood intently, distracted by Susan's light show, while his severed hand crawled its way up his leg and hopped over to his wounded arm, where rubbery tendrils of black ooze immediately extruded from whole and wounded flesh alike and began intertwining. Martin had walked into what had to be a Fellowship operative's wet dream. The Red King's naked back and no one to stop him from going medieval on the leader of the vile edifice of power and terror that was the Red Court. He took the machete from its sheath without a whisper of steel on nylon and drew back, readying himself to strike. There was an intensity of focus in his face that I had never seen before. He closed the last two steps in a super quick blur, went into a spin, and I was getting ready to cheer when his foot swept up to streak savagely through the air beneath the glowing white light. I heard Susan let out a cry as she fell, startled by the blow. Martin, moving with his eyes closed, got close to her arms lashing out and caught something between them. He ripped hard with his left arm, twisting the machete up with the right as he did, and suddenly Susan was fully visible, bowed into a pain arch by Martin's grip on her. The feather cloak had fallen from her, and the blade of Martin's machete rested against her throat. I screamed in rage. It came out as a sort of vocalized seethe. The Red King took a swift step back as Martin attacked, his eyes intent. Then when Susan appeared, his head tilted as he worked through what he was seeing. "Please excuse me, my lord," Martin murmured, giving a slight bow of his head to the Red King. "Drop it," he said in a flat voice to Susan. He twisted his body more, bending her painfully and pressing the machete's edge against her throat even harder until Susan's fingers opened and Amorakius fell to the floor, its light slowly dying.